Chapter 16, verse 33. We began a series a few weeks ago called The Overcoming Church. And I was reading the book of Revelation, and I noticed that there was a phrase to every church that he wrote to. There were seven churches that he wrote to, and he said this phrase at the end of each words that he said to each church, and he said, to him who overcomes. And he listed some rewards of overcomers. So John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus is talking here, and he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, say in me, so in him you might have peace. But in the world you shall have tribulation or troubles. But be of good cheer. Say good cheer. I have overcome the world. And why is that good for us? Because if he overcame it, we can too. All right? So if you were to receive a news broadcast that says, today in the world you're going to have trouble. Say, but I don't want trouble. Doesn't matter. At some point, you're going to have trouble. Because why? This world is a fallen. Did you know that? This earth is under a curse. Did you know that? And there are, not everybody has the faith. Matter of fact, Paul prayed one time. He said, pray that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because not all men have the faith. So, what are you going to do about this trouble? Are you going to let it crush you? Are you going to let it overwhelm you? Or are you going to use it as an opportunity to overcome, to prevail, to subdue, to conquer? All right? Jesus said, listen to this now, in regards to trouble, he said, be of good cheer. Do you think he said it like this? Be of good cheer. Or do you think he said, be of good cheer? He did it so that you and I can do it. And let's just review some basic scriptures about overcoming. 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. He said, I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. Say, have overcome. That's past tense, isn't it? When did you overcome the wicked one? When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, that's when the victory was complete and made available to you. And then he says, I write to you little children, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So the word of God abiding in us is something that helps us overcome. How does the word of God abide in you? Well, you meditate on it, you read it, you study it, but then you do it, you practice it. That's how we know if it's abiding in you or not. The word abiding in you is the word that you do, okay? 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Say, I've got greatness in me. So he declares that we're overcomers because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us. The Holy Spirit is greater than the devil. He's stronger than the devil. He's more powerful than the devil. The devil is a whooped pup. And he just tries to make a lot of noise and make himself something that he's not. All right? 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. How many have been born of God? See, so overcoming is in your genetic code. It's in your makeup. It's in your heritage. You come from a champion line of overcomers. Hallelujah. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What are some things that we have to overcome? We have to overcome the world, right? We have to overcome the devil. You know, Romans 12, 2 said, according to Philip, says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. How many know the world would like you to conform to it, right? It puts a lot of advertisement and a lot of pressure for you to conform to it. But thank God we're not of the world, so we don't have to conform to it. It has to conform to us, right? How do we do that? We overcome the world. And then we have to overcome our flesh. Yeah, sometimes our biggest enemy is not the devil, it's the flesh. Our flesh has desires. And if you give your flesh an inch, it'll become a ruler. And we have to overcome sin. Why did the Bible write to Christians, if you sin, whoever sins, confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What is sin? Sin is missing the mark. Do you know that there are times that we can respond out of the flesh and not the spirit? We miss the mark. So we've got to overcome missing the mark, right? We have to overcome not obeying God. All right, Revelation, chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having much wrath because he knows that his time is short. Yeah, his lease is running out. Okay? And let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Never read the Bible with jelly on your fingers or your pages will get stuck. And verse 7, Revelation 2:7 says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. How many want to eat of the tree of life? Well, you got to overcome some things. You got to face challenges and enemies, and you got to conquer them, vanquish them, beat them. Amen? Just like David did to Goliath. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did to the fiery furnace. Just like Daniel did to the lion's den. Just like Jesus did to the grave. He overcame them. So you're going to get some spiritual food. Overcomers get to eat of the tree of life. Then go down to 11, verse 11. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. In other words, you're going to get eternal life. So there are rewards for overcoming. There are rewards for facing challenges and coming through on the other side. I'm going to get rewarded for telling how I overcame some stings and everything that went along with it. Amen. I'm glad to be on the other side to tell you about it. Hallelujah. And I'm glad my lips didn't get swollen. I couldn't talk. I'd be like, blah, blah, you know. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Do you think you're going to overcome if you're not listening to what the Holy Ghost is saying? No. Because guess what? You know, he was at creation. He knows everything about the enemy. He knows every trap that he tries to set. He knows everything about you, and he's got some insight. You know, he's here to bring us into all truth. I don't know about you, but I'm not into all truth yet. I got some truth that I've got to come into. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. And go down to verse 26. It says, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. How many want power over the nations? Well, those who overcome get the benefit of that reward. Say, I'm an overcomer. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. How many want Jesus to confess your name before the Father and the angels? Amen? Just think, you're going to be in heaven, and they're going to make an announcement of you because you're an overcomer. They're going to call your name. Your name is going to be known in heaven because you're a conqueror. You're an overcomer. We are an overcoming church. Go to verse 12, chapter 3. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. How many want God to put his stamp on you? He's going to stamp you with his name in heaven. That's to overcomers, right? And then finally, let's go to 21, verse 21. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. How many want to sit on his throne? Well, you got to overcome some things. Okay? So those are the rewards of the overcomer. And, you know, when he says to him who has ears, what he's saying is worthy of our attention. All right? And let's look at some examples of overcomers. I'm just going to mention them to you. We're not going to go there. But in Genesis 32, Jacob, he wrestled with God all night long. And he made this statement. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. How many have that resolve to hang in prayer until the blessing arrives? Say, I'm not letting this go until you bless me. And Jacob wrestled with them all night long. And finally, the blessing came. He got a new name. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And he had the favor of God upon him because he hung in there. He refused to quit. He persevered. All right? How about Caleb? Did you know that Caleb and Joshua were a minority of believers? They were the only ones beside Moses who in the midst of a negative report said, we are well able to take the land, let's go in. He had to actually silence the people. Do you go along with the crowd? Or are you like a salmon that swims upstream? Amen? But Caleb was a conqueror. And we know that when he was 85 years old, he went to Joshua and he said, you see that mountain over there? He said, that's my mountain. He said, it was promised to me 40 years ago. And he said, I'm as strong as I am. I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40. And you know who lived on that mountain? Descendants of Anak. Those were giants. And Caleb, he went to that mountain when he was 85. He tossed the giants out and he took that mountain. Why? Because he was an overcomer. Do you think about this now? For 40 years, he didn't lose his testimony. For 40 years, Joshua and Caleb had to put up with everybody else whining, complaining, grumbling, and murmuring day after day. Think about that. It would have been all right for Joshua and Caleb to say, look, I quit. I've had enough of you guys. You guys are on your own. But they didn't. Why? Because they're an overcomer. See, what's an overcomer? You maintain your testimony from point A to point B. And you arrive at the end knowing that you have kept the faith. You didn't trade it in. You didn't get into error, but you kept believing God. You kept a good confession. You kept a right attitude and a right heart from point A to point B. Doesn't matter if you stumbled here and there, but if you stumbled, you got up. If you fell, you got up. If you got knocked down, you got back up. You're like one of those float things in the water. You know, if you push it down, it pops right back up. That's what an overcomer is. An overcomer doesn't mean you're not going to have any adversity. You're not going to have any trouble. No, an overcomer goes through adversity. It goes through trouble. But an overcomer gets to say how the Lord made helped them make it through. Okay? And we talked about how Moses struck down the Amorites and took their land. Is there some land that is yours? Did you know? You know, I've discovered that when something is yours, it doesn't automatically come to you. You got to go out and get it. You know, one guy said, if your boat doesn't come in, swim out and get it. All right? And then David said in 2 Samuel 22:30, he said, you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Was David an overcomer? Absolutely. Was he perfect? No, he fell. But you know what? He refused to quit. He never let one battle do him in because he knew he'd win the war. Just because you've lost a battle doesn't mean you lost the war. Amen? You keep going on. All right? Now let's look at these churches. All right? Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. The first church he speaks to is the church in Ephesus. Okay? And he says some good things about them. I'm not going to focus on them. But what was the issue in Ephesus? What did they have to overcome? Look at verse 5. He says he had something against them. He said, remember, therefore, from when you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Say first works. Or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick or your lampstand out of its place, except you repent. So what was the issue that the church at Ephesus had to overcome? It was leaving their first love. It was they fell away and their priorities got out of order. You know, if you've ever heard of the doctrine of eternal security, once saved, always saved. If that were true, why did God tell these churches to endure to the end or to overcome if that were true? If it's possible to somewhere along the way to give up and not overcome, it's possible. Do you realize that you could walk out the same door that you came in? Jesus is the door, right? And someone could choose to walk away from him. Marriages are supposed to last forever, but how many know people get divorced all the time? They simply walk out of their commitment. And this is what the problem was in Ephesus. He said, you left your first love. That was in verse 4. And so we've got to overcome leaving our first love, and we've got to guard our priorities, and we got to keep our priorities, and we got to do the first works. All right? Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And the Lord told Jeremiah to go cry in the ears of Jerusalem. And notice what he says in verse 2. Thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothals or espousals, when you followed after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O you house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of Egypt, and led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through the land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination or detestable. And the priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. What's he talking about? They left their first love. Did you know that the enemy would like you to get your eyes off Jesus? How does he do that? By distractions? By delay? You pray for something and it doesn't come. You say, well, I thought God, this was your will, but I guess not. Did you know it took Daniel 21 days to get an answer? One time? Because the angel was delayed with the prince of Persia. And Michael had to come and deal with the prince of Persia so the angel could get the message. But he said, Daniel, on the first day you prayed, your prayer was heard in heaven. But he had to wait 21 days to get his answer. Let's not be too quick to give up or to turn our backs on the Lord. All right, go with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. We're dealing with what Ephesus dealt with. They left their first love. Their priorities got messed up. And let's go to verse 9, or verse 8, actually, of Matthew 24. Notice what he says. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended or afflicted, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, or don't trust one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So he's talking about the end days when persecution comes in. First of all, offense will come with persecution. See, offense is designed to separate you from the vine. Let's read that again. They're going to deliver you up to be afflicted, so that's persecution. You'll be hated. Many shall be offended. Say many. Do you realize that if you allow offense will cause you to stop overcoming? Offense at anything. Jesus hates offense. Did you know that offense is an individual decision? It's an unwillingness to forgive. It's an unwillingness to let go. It's an unwillingness to allow yourself to be healed of the hurt that you're carrying around. And you label every person that hurts you in that offense. But it causes you to lose your focus. And false prophets shall arise to deceive many. Another version says to lead astray. You know, if knowing the truth will make you free, then believing a lie will keep you bound. The problem in Ephesus that they had to overcome was leaving their first love. How many remember when you were in love? Man, you had those gaga eyes, you know? You would lose track of time, you know? You would do crazy things because you're in love. Remember how zealous we used to be when we first got saved? You know, you had all this energy. You wanted to serve, you wanted to help, you wanted to do whatever. But then you kind of get settled in and you kind of lose your zeal. You just kind of, you get comfortable. Oh, it's so nice and comfortable. You don't take any risks. You stop sharing. When you first got saved, man, you were like a light bulb. You would go, you know what? When I got saved, I was 12 years old. Do you realize the next day I went to my Catholic grade school and I told Sister Mary Ella, who was the principal, and Sister Mary Jane, who was the science teacher, I said, guess what happened to me last night? I got saved, because they were born again. And they said, that's great. They encouraged me. Two Catholic sisters were born again. Remember how zealous you were to tell others what happened to you? What happened to your zeal? You left your first love. It's so easy. Things in life can come up, and it takes all your time, and you get further and further away. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. Well, eventually, you're going to have a lot of time. You better get right with your first love now. First love is Jesus. Seek first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. It's going to take me a while to get through these churches. That's why I like pastoring, because you can have series. As an evangelist, man, you had to give it all you got in one shot sometimes. But now I can leave you wanting more, you know, so you come back. Look at Philippians chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse 6, and I want you to mark every time it says until, okay? Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How long is that work going to go on in you? Until Jesus comes. Okay? Those who make it until Jesus comes have overcome. Those who do not make it until Jesus comes have not overcome. Does that mean that if someone died, they didn't make it? No, they might have finished their race. You know, we're all on different races. We're not running the same race. Look at verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you and all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. How long are you supposed to be without offense? Let me tell you something. You need to wage war on offense. You need to not give place to offense. If you give place to offense in one area, it'll affect the rest of your life. It'll keep you in bondage. It'll trip you up. It'll be a snare to you. And you will not make it to the end carrying offense around. Notice, you've got to be diligent. You've got to be discerning about the things that are excellent. You've got to be without offense till the day of Christ. If offense starts creeping up, you need to repent. You need to forgive. You need to let go of that immediately. Amen? Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Now, this is the great apostle Paul. Listen to what he says. You know, he wrote half the New Testament. You know, if you came across the apostle Paul, he's still alive. He's just in heaven. We're going to meet him someday. And maybe if you sat down and had a conversation with him, say, Paul, you're so great, you're so wonderful. Listen to what he says. You know, he wrote Philippians when he was in jail. Listen. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, if you don't let go of some of the past, that's going to prevent you from overcoming. Listen, you can't do anything about the past unless you've got a time machine. Listen, the past is in the tomb. Don't be a grave digger. Don't be digging up the past. Tomorrow's in the womb. Tomorrow isn't here yet. Don't be so concerned about tomorrow. What day should you be concerned about? Right now. Did you know that God gives you a gift every day? It's called the present. And it comes every day. So you can't do anything about what's in the tomb. You can prepare for what's in the womb, but you got to live today. Today is the day of salvation. Now faith is. So Paul didn't think he apprehended. But he made it his point in life. One thing I do, forget those things which are behind. Do you think that the persecutions Paul brought ever came to his mind? Huh? Do you think how he persecuted the church, how he would go into people's houses and take them captive and abuse them? Do you don't think he ever thought about that? But he said forgetting. He didn't say for God, he said forgetting. Paul, did you know Paul had to die daily? Forgetting is a process. Now the devil will try to remind you because he wants you to get offended. Remember what they did to you? No, I don't, because it's under the blood. Nah, 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 nah. You got to have conversations like that with the devil. When he brings those thoughts to your mind, you got to reject those thoughts. So he was reaching forth. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now notice what he says in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Say, I got to think like this. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you and often now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, you got to be careful about your associations. You got to be able to discern whether or not they're an enemy of the cross of Christ. Did you know that when God wants to bless you, he'll put a person in your life? But when the enemy wants to destroy you, he'll put a person in your life? Jesus had a Judas. David had an Absalom. Nehemiah had a Sanballat and a Tobiah. And someone else, I forget their name. Jesus had enemies. Even his own disciple, Peter, when he said, I'm gonna suffer and die, Peter said, no, I'm not going to let you have it. What did he say? He said, Satan, get thee behind me. Because he recognized that at that moment, Peter was yielding to the enemy of the cross. And he talked directly to Satan. He wouldn't let that thought get any further because Jesus was an overcomer. And go with me. Well, in 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 to 5, it says faith and love need to be steadfast to the end. There are two things that you need to really focus on, and that's faith and love. You need to, the just shall live by faith, but faith works by love. And we really got to guard our love walk. An overcomer is someone who walks in love. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, who was perfect, did nothing wrong, he walked in love. When someone did him wrong, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. If he hadn't forgiven them, it would have prevented him from overcoming. When he was presented with the woman who was caught in adultery, did you know that he never got caught up in accusing her? He said, woman, where are... Because he knows who the accuser of the brethren is. Jesus never went around pointing fingers. He never exposed people's faults. He'd always cover them with the blood. And he told that woman, he said, woman, your sins are forgiven. Or he said, go and sin no more. He said, I don't accuse you either, but go and sin no more. Why? Because if you're going to be an overcomer, you're going to have to walk in love. Because there are people that are going to hurt you. There are going to be people that let you down. Our faith is not to be in people. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. Did you know that David went out to battle with Goliath? He didn't even have a sword on him. All he had was a slingshot. In other words, he didn't put his confidence in anything that came from man. He put his confidence in God. And he went out there, he said, my weapon is the name of the Lord. Even though he used a slingshot, it was the name of the Lord that he used. And Goliath said, I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. He said, no, you're not. I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. And he wound up and fired. He didn't even have a sword. He had to use Goliath's sword to cut off his head. See, he was a conqueror when the rock hit Goliath, but he was more than a conqueror when he cut off his head. And he held that head up to the Philistine army, and the Philistine army was terrified because they knew that their champion was beaten because David was an overcomer. He was an overcomer at a young age. Young people, start being an overcomer now. Don't wait. There's going to be a lot of things that come at you in life, but you need to build yourself up now. You know, you need to be like Rocky Balboa. Adrian! You need to. What did Rocky do before a championship fight? He trained. He prepared. He worked out. He chased a chicken. He ran. He boxed sides of beef. He prepared to face the enemy. This is what we have to do on a daily basis if you're going to be an overcomer. Let me just touch on keeping first things first. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. See, if I wasn't such a teacher, I wouldn't have so many details. 1 Kings chapter 3. Why don't you look at verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now just think about this for a minute. God comes to Les, and he says, Les, ask what I shall give you. Name your miracle. Whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. Okay? And Solomon, he was in a great position. He could have asked for anything about himself. He could have asked for finances. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for honor. But what did he ask for? Verse 9 says, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this great people? And you know what? Solomon represented that he put others first. He did not put himself first. He got his priorities in order from the very beginning. And the speech pleased the Lord. Verse 10. That Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing, say this thing. He didn't put his desires first. He put the desires of the kingdom first. He was concerned about how to govern God's people, how to fulfill God's plan for his life. Because you ask this thing and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment, behold, verse 12, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there will be none like you before you, neither shall any arise like unto you. And I have also given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you all your days. Now, verse 14, he tells them that if you're going to keep this, you're going to have to overcome. He said, if you'll walk in my ways, if you'll keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David did walk, I will lengthen your days. Isn't it interesting how even though he went above and beyond, God says, I'm able to do exceeding above and beyond what you could ask or think. And so Solomon asked for wisdom. He got wisdom, riches, and honor along with it. But it was a qualifying phrase, if you walk in my commandments and you keep my statutes as your father David did. And you know, he told Solomon to avoid foreign women and horses. And you know it was foreign women and horses that caused him to fall? It was Solomon who wrote, vanity of vanity, everything is vain. He said, there's a time for, he wrote Ecclesiastes, he wrote Song of Solomon. He came to the end of his life realizing how much vanity that he had fell into. 300 wives and 700 concubines? Come on. Give me a break. How about the widow of Zarephath? Elijah said, give me a cake first. But she only had one. Well, maybe two. One for her, one for her son. Give God what is his first. Do you know the tithe is the Lord's? If we're messing with the tithe, we're going to get a curse. But if we give the tithe to the Lord, we're going to get blessed. All right, first things first. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase, with your substance, and the first. Everybody say first. First fruits of all your increase. So any money that comes into your hand, you ought to give God what's his first. Not second, not third, first. Let me ask you a question. If you're driving in a car, if you're getting ready to go somewhere, would you get dressed at home or get dressed in the car? Right? The order in which you do things makes a difference. If you're trying to get dressed while driving a car, you might have an accident. You're doing things out of order. Did you know that there is an order to God's kingdom? God is a God of order. What's order? First things first. Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, had a problem because they left. They left their first love. They messed up their priorities. The solution was to repent. Get your priorities back in order. Put God first. God is the most important relationship that you're ever going to have on this earth and beyond. God, the relationship with God is more important than your spouse, than your children, than your job, than your hobbies, than anything else. First. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. God, Solomon sought God first, and he had everything else added to him. If you read the book of Haggai, people were putting their houses first before the Lord's. And he said, you're putting money in a bag with holes in it. He said, you need to consider your ways, he said in the book of Haggai. Did you know that when you put God first, he will give you his kingdom? Did you know that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But he's only going to give it to you if you put it first. If it's a number one priority of you. What are you living for anyway? Everything in this world is going to pass away. You know? Even Olympic athletes that win the gold medal their gold medals get covered with dust if they're not kept safe. I mean, think about it. Jesus told the church at Ephesus, he said, I have this thing against you. He told them, yeah, you're good at this, you're good at that, but I have this one thing against you. You left your first love. If you leave your first love, you will be overcome and you will not be an overcomer, because we can only overcome through what Jesus Christ has done. We can't overcome on our own merits, on our own strength. It's not going to happen. We can't even work our way to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness that you can boast, but it's by the grace of God. It's not by works. It's by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's the only way that someone gets into heaven. And rejecting Jesus Christ is the only one that someone does not get to heaven. Did you know that smoking won't send you to hell? It won't. It's rejecting Jesus Christ. So then what's smoking? Well, that's your flesh just gets addicted to it. Anything, if you let your flesh rule you, the more your flesh rules you, the less your spirit rules you. So we got to reverse ourselves, and it takes training. All right? It takes training. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen? Thank God that His mercies are new every morning. I'm telling you, you're going to face challenges. But to them who overcome, you're going to get to eat the fruit that's the tree of life. Did you know that the tree of life is in heaven? Revelation 22:2 says the tree of life is in heaven. Proverbs 15:4 says the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. How many want to eat healing? Amen? Well, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, Proverbs 11:30. And then Proverbs 3:18 says wisdom is a tree of life. So, I don't know, I like righteousness, I like wisdom, I like healing. All that has to do with the tree of life. But I want to encourage you, let's not make the mistake that the Ephesus church did. In other words, let's listen to the Holy Spirit. And when He's telling us to change our direction, or when He tells us to repent of what we did or what we said, let's make it right immediately, quickly. You know, if you get angry in a day, that's fine, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. That's why you got to get it under the blood today. Amen? Yeah. Oh, I got angry. I flew off the handle. Okay. The sun is closing. You better get it right. Don't let the sun go down on wrath. How do you not do that? You be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Say, I'm quick to repent and I'm quick to forgive. Say, I make allowances for people. Say, people aren't my problem. The enemy is my problem. And he's already been dealt with. And I have the victory. So let's put things, let's put first things first. He told the Ephesus church, he said, go back to your first works. Remember how much love and zeal you had when you first got born again. How many remember the day that you got born again? You know, I do. That was 27 years ago. Of course, I've spoken about it so many times over the years, it's easier to remember. If you don't remember the day you got saved, are you a bad person? Absolutely not. Say, I'm not a bad person. But what we do first will determine what God will do second. And when you read your Bible, mark every scripture that has an if. And every scripture that has an if is a conditional promise. It's based on what you do, depending on what God does. Jesus said, all those who are thirsty, what? Come to me, and I'll give you drink. All those who are heavy laden with burden, okay, you got this burden. What are you going to do about it? Come to him, he said, I'll give you rest. So depending on what you do will determine what God will do. Because as far as he's concerned, he's already done everything he needs to do. Now he's waiting for us to do something. Amen? So let's not leave our first love. Let's keep the fire going. Let's stoke the fire. Let's fan the flame. Amen? Let's stir ourselves up. Let's not lose our zeal or our passion for the things of God. We got to be overcomers. Don't give the devil the satisfaction of thinking that he won. We need to enforce his defeat by rising up. And it comes from within. Because the devil, I mean, he wants to keep you in chains. He wants to keep you bound. God wants you free. What if Paul and Silas hadn't prayed and sang praises in the prison at the midnight hour? They'd have still been in chains the next day. But they loved God so much that even in their darkest moment, they were able to praise him. And it was their praise that broke the bonds. Let's just give God praise a moment. Just stand up. Oh, Father, we praise you. We magnify you, Lord. You're so good and gracious. Oh, we bless the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood, Father. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives to death. Oh, Lord God, we look unto Jesus. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. Come on, just begin to declare who he is to you. Open your mouth and declare who he is to you. Hallelujah. Whoever you need him to be, whether you need healing, declare him to be your healer. Whether you need provision, declare him to be your provider. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you are the God who makes things right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you are the God who cancels debt. And you make a wilderness a fruitful field. Oh, hallelujah. You are the God who makes the desert blossom. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We put you first. We put your word first. Father, we will obey your word. Oh, when we have problems, when we have trouble, you're the first person we're going to come to. Hallelujah. You're the first person we're going to call to in the name of Jesus. Lord, we release everyone who's ever hurt us. We forgive them. We put them under the blood. Father, we release them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they did. We release it right now in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. You need to declare who you are in Christ. Oh, you're the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. I think the level of overcoming has just risen. We're getting into deep overcoming waters. 6 more churches to go to yet. Pray that I can get through them quickly. Say, Lord, quicken him. Tell him to leave those notes and prophesy. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that y'all came out tonight, and I just pray that you're refreshed from times of refreshing. You know, thank God he put an S on that word time. That means you can get refreshed more than once. Amen? So, if we have some...